CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
See, John, you're not a phony. I don't even think you're a bad guy. But what you are is a Kung Pao bitch. You hear them, John? I fight for them. I fight for the people. The same people who are so sick and tired. Sick and tired of having a Kung Pao bitch shoved down their throat every single night. By the way, Portland right now, trending worldwide, Kung Pao bitch.
And we're hoping to trend a little bit faster than that. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. We're going to attempt this in a podcast format, so let me introduce to you those who actually showed up tonight. Let's start with the crazy man who gave us this intro, Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you, Nikki. You've never sounded better.
That's much appreciated.
Yes.
On another corner of the table, the man who took the bite out of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
Good evening. And yes, the air smells fresher around here. Feels real good.
That's because I brought Febreze. Come on now.
Let's see. And all the way on the other side of the planet, somebody who missed out on the send-off, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Okay, we're going to get started on that. I had to work, people. I mean, come on. Cut me some slack here. But no, it is great to be back. I am sorry I missed that show, but I heard it was huge, and we gave Blog Talk Radio a bit of a nice send-off.
We did a pretty good job to them. Don't worry about that. And they were nonplussed. They just looked up and said, you know,
I just don't know what went wrong.
There you go.
Yeah, here I go. I thought moving away from BTR got us away from ponies, but I do like Kirby, so that's okay.
Okay. But before we get started, though, I will also wave over to our chief high muckamuck, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Ponies and more ponies and more ponies.
So let me see if I can get this thing working. What?
North American Pony Connection.
No. Let me try this. Let's try this button.
And we're off.
Nabbit. No. Maybe it's this one.
No, you gotta pick the other one.
The other one?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me find it. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, thanks to this new podcast format, we are no longer taking right crosses to the wallet. And I know somebody who never has had to worry about that, and he's even made sure of this. I'm speaking specifically of the evil boss, Dr. Levescu, who has gotten a contract extension. It's a actual wrestling contract. Jason, you saw some of the numbers.
Yeah, here's what happened. Because WWE is a public company, they have to file something with the SEC called a 10-K. If they don't do that, they get in a real lot of big trouble with the powers that be in Washington. So within this was a new deal that Mr. Levesque signed last year, which went into effect this January 1st. It is a four-year deal. He is guaranteed $1 million a year as part of, what was it called, compensation, I believe the exact term was?
Something to that effect.
Number two, he only gets to work 180 days a year maximum. Some people say that he never worked at all. I'm just saying. And the third thing, which was the most interesting one, not only can he not appear on any other wrestling company, he cannot appear on any, what was the word, martial arts company. In other words, no UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce, or in your case, the Arnold.
Right. One of his favorite hobbies is going to the Arnold Classic, which is a huge overall sports, but some MMA, some martial arts, sports fitness, all that jazz. And he can't go this year. I can't go this year either.
You're not going to see Mark Henry being inducted into their Hall of Fame. That was just announced on WWE.com today.
That's actually something that's been running around the news for the past couple of weeks. I knew that he was going to be honored at the Arnold, which, you know, kind of makes me sad. I would actually have wanted to see as well.
Because Mr. Henry is a legit powerlifting badass.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some other people here at the table who are longtime wrestling fans. And have seen Mark Henry through these 15 years from the highs and the lows. Did anybody see any of his deal when he was still doing strongman competitions?
No, I missed out on seeing that, and I actually was kind of a fan of the World's Strongest Man kind of thing. Actually, I didn't know he got into some of those competitions. I didn't know that.
So,
doesn't surprise me, because the man could jack, you know, a tractor trailer up like it's nothing, probably, but, you know.
Well, I remember where they would let him show some of that off back in 2001 when it was him, when he was taking bets with people backstage, and they did the thing with Test in the limo.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked up one end of the limo, and then Test tried to run him over.
Yeah, for some reason, cage doors are always tough for him. It's a shame.
No,
but that's not all power. That's some of that's leverage. I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, I know.
Lift with the knees, not the back. Yes.
Thank you, Richard Simmons. No, kidding.
Now this is going to give, you know. This is going to give Mr. Henry some much-needed time off, since he's still on and off with that groin injury. And Shane, I don't... Sorry?
I was going to say, he's been a hell of a trooper through it. I mean, good God, he's doing good through that.
And, you know, great for him. And I know, you know, since he's been there forever. But Shane, did you hear that this might be his last rodeo with the Fed?
Yeah, I'm actually a bit surprised, because Mark Henry himself has actually come out and told people that he's 100%. Now, I don't know if that's just Mark Henry putting on a brave face or whatever, but he's told people he's 100%, but yet there are rumors floating around people that Mark Henry could be done after when his contract expires later on this year. So I don't know how much of that is true, how much of that is fiction, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see, Nikki.
And especially, Shane, when you consider when he was given the ball back in the fall, he ran with it, and he ran with it great. He took the championship and the Hall of Pain and all that, and you could make a case, and a good one, that these last 5 to 6 months have been his best in the Fed. Ever.
Agreed. 100%. He was built up, and Nikki and Jim, we've both discussed this, as a legit badass. I mean, from everything from tossing around a sound tech to legitimately defeating Randy Orton a couple of times.
And breaking a ton of furniture in the process, between audio equipment, the announce table a couple of times, the ring.
A cage.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's beautiful stuff, and it's something that, you know, it's been a thing of beauty. I know they've tried to do this for him in the past. They've tried to build him back up, and then something, you know, an injury, a departure, you know, radical change of storyline from one end or the other, not always his fault, but his pushes have been derailed so many times that it's just refreshing to see one come to fruition and, you know, last as long as it did. Even and him playing hurt, depending on who you believe when it comes to his groin injury. Because he says he's 100%. If I remember what we saw on WrestleChat.net, it was that Vince wasn't terribly happy that Mark Henry took time off to try to get himself healthy. Vince, you can't have it both ways. You can't kill these guys. Seriously.
Yeah, but, well, like, sorry to cut you off there,
Jay. No, go ahead, Shane. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's just like I completely agree with Nikki. Like, that's like Mark Henry's bit. Like, I agree with both Jim and Jason. They were like, these past 6 years have been Mark Henry's best. I mean, and let's not forget, Mark Henry's had so many things. I mean, he's been sexual chocolate and friggin' everything else under the sun. But these last 6 years have been his best. And now Vince McMahon's going to have a whinge because Mark Henry actually cares about his career enough that he's going to take some time off so he's 100%. So how much of it is Mark Henry actually leaving WWE, or how much is it that Vince McMahon is pushing Mark Henry out the door?
That's the $64,000 question. And to your point, Shane, Mark Henry has come a long way from helping birth a hand, shall we say.
If Mark Henry can sleep with Mae Young, he can do anything.
Oh, Mae!
And also, remember, he was also a member of the Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any means necessary.
Exactly. And, again, he was a peripheral member of the early, you know, part of the Rock DVD, which I just have been watching. So, yeah, I mean, he's been around a long time. And what is it? He was signed, what, 95, 96?
Right around then, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's been with isn't he the second longest continuous guy in the company right now?
Behind Taker, I assume you mean. Well, Trips and Mark were about the same time.
Yeah. Hunter showed up in 95.
I think Henry showed up in 96, but don't hold me to that.
But,
But par for the course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Triple H has been around longer. Mark Henry did come in back in 1996, and then I believe shortly after that he was doing the Nation of Domination thing, if I remember correctly.
And yeah, speaking of Triple H, can we just go back to one question that I forgot to ask?
Sure.
And I apologize, Nikki, for asking for interrupting, but now that Triple H has signed a new deal, and that will put him, what, in his mid-40s or close to 50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think Triple H's role is going to be in the company? As a wrestler, that is.
I think what we're going to see is something very similar to the Vince McMahon role, with the slight difference that this Chief High Muckamuck actually has a wrestling background. That's not a dig against Vince. We're going to see the COO character kind of just ebb and flow, face to heel, as needed by storylines. He's not going to wrestle often. We're probably going to see what we've seen, you know, this past year. He wrestled three or four times, but he had a lot of on-screen time regardless, which, of course, I know the number threes are whining, but hey, Hunter's got something to say.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
An admission is the first step, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
admission. Is the first step.
And, no, I, mm-hmm. No, I was just going to say, and once he got that, you know, once he got all that in place, he found out that it went underway, so he celebrated on Monday night by running out and pedigreeing the fuck out of Miz.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
He pedigreed him so far, Miz thought, you know what, I'm going to go to Poland and Russia. That's what he's...
He ran like a little bitch to the Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to the real world of the game.
Which is... Okay, I'm sorry if I'm taking over here, but think of the dichotomy of this. You're being buried on TV, right? I mean, and you really legitimately are. But why the hell is WWE using you as a promo tool in Eastern Europe?
Because they don't know. Or is it they just wanted him out of their hair? Because I bet he went by himself.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure they get internet over in Russia. I mean, Miz getting pedigreed, probably the most watched video ever. Because everyone's just like, fuck Miz, pedigree.
Next to the Russian version of the Nyan Cat.
That would be funny.
Yes.
His ass kicked all around the world, yes.
But, what was I going to say? Just that, you know, Miz just sliding backwards at this point. So, and part of the reason I think they left the video, that the video made it to WWE.com and has been so well viewed, is probably because there's a few workers that are shaking a finger at Miz because he didn't take the pedigree correctly. So now Hunter's going to have to do that to him every week until he gets it right.
At this point in time, Miz has got to be thinking to himself, can I fucking rewind time just so I can go back to Survivor Series and kiss Dwayne Johnson's ass so at least that way then I'm getting better work? Because that's where all this shit started. Because of, apparently, Miz is the reason that Survivor Series didn't sell well, because they can't blame Rock or Cena, can they? They have to blame someone, and they're not going to blame Truth.
Well,
because he'll just blame Jimmy. Jimmy!
I think they should blame Jimmy, because it.
Well, I do. Oh.
But
the other Jimmy, yes.
Not you. No, oh. I wouldn't do that to you.
Thanks.
But... It's one of these things that, you know, is I just worry for Miz. I think he's at this point, I think he really is going to be on the bubble when spring cleaning comes around.
It looks like it more and more. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm asking is though, going back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, is it really just his attitude? Or what? I don't know why he's on the bubble.
Well, okay. I've got some information about that. Like, people in the back are, like, apparently worried because Miz isn't showing the commitment that he did when he was WWE champion. Because we all remember back when Miz was WWE champion, he was on fire. He was doing good promos. He was doing good in-ring work. And he was pretty much making people want to watch. But since they've taken the title off him, he's just sort of slouched back. And he's not putting as much effort in. So people in the back are feeling that if they give him this lack of push, that maybe he'll, like, revamp himself up and be like, okay, got to put myself back into it.
Oftentimes,
it's not working.
Oftentimes, the biggest test is not so much when you have the belt, what do you do with it, but it's after you lose the belt, what do you do with it? And right now, while he succeeded not just on wrestling programming, but doing all the media appearances and being Mr. Social Butterfly and doing all the right things to get the WWE name out there, as soon as he lost the belt, it's like he didn't have the charisma. He didn't have the go-to, it seemed. And it's shown in various matches, and I'm not trying to, you know, give Matthew a big plug, but you noticed in the last couple of Botchamanias, you'll notice The Miz is prominently featured, not hitting clotheslines properly, not catching people who are flying outside the ring and almost injuring people in the process. It's like he... Something's missing. Something's just not clicking for him. And right now, he's being put back against the wall. See how he handles it.
And I just, you know, I had misread a thread when I was digging around on the fan boards. I thought Thread was complaining about how he pretty much phoned in his match this past Monday.
I think I pointed that out to you, I believe, not this Monday, but the Monday before, that he was phoning in his match. I think it was with CM Punk, if I'm not mistaken.
And I can almost understand phoning in a match with Cena, because we already know how that goes. So, and it goes something like this.
Shut up. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't blame him for phoning in a match against Cena, but when you're already halfway in the doghouse, you might want to just suck it up and get back to it, because this is the part where you got to eat crap and like it for a little while. And yes, even the evil doc has had to do this.
You got to eat crap before you can eat caviar in this business.
Yes. You eat a lot of crap before you get caviar.
I think caviar is crap too, but that's just me. Anyway,
yes, but I don't think he's done that though, because like I'm not gonna point fingers and say yes it was him, but somebody in one of the wrestlers in the back has actually messaged PW Insider for an interview and has asked for anonymity. So they can't be named or anything, and actually talked about Survivor Series and said, ooh, you don't see The Rock getting blamed for Survivor Series, but yet he gets to headline WrestleMania. Are you kidding me? And I'm thinking, that's got to be The Miz or Truth, one of the two, but someone's just not letting go.
I just think I think somebody's pulling PWI's leg.
Bullshit!
But this is just something to keep an eye on, because as of right now, Miz does not have a WrestleMania match. And in fact, the little off-air segment where Miz gets pedigreed is essentially, you know, he had stayed in the ring, they went to commercial, he got on the mic, and was demanding a WrestleMania match. And the evil boss, knowing, you know, in true fashion, just went out there and said WrestleMania this and pedigreed him to hell.
There you go.
So, let's see. But we shouldn't be talking so much about what was off camera. We probably should be talking about some of the stuff that was on camera.
Oh, yes! Sorry.
No, he wasn't there. Paul Bearer was not there.
He was probably the only one who wasn't, though.
That was creepy and eerie how good that was, Jason, I have to say. I'm scared.
But, no, Raw this week was very, very good. And I poo-poo on all of the number threes for crapping all over Rocky's promo, because I liked the idea that it wasn't a catchphrase-laden mess, which is what he did after Cena came and went, but... what did you guys think?
You know, it was entertaining as hell. First and foremost, are we referring to The Rock and Cena solely? Because if you want to throw in Punk Jericho, that was gold too, of course.
Oh yeah, we can talk about that. I was going to stay on Rock Cena, about Jericho Punk.
I was going to say, in general, both of those promo segments were the perfect bookend to make that show. They made that show. It was not a wrestling-heavy show by any means, but they made the show. Punk and Jericho sparring back and forth, and of course the soundbite of gold, did you invent Canada?
Yes.
I mean, genius. Sheer genius. And then you got The Rock, and you know what? The whole thing with the words on his, you know, wrist and Cena calling him out for it, and then of course we find the high resolution shot that, yeah, the words were on his wrist. There's going to be something written into that in the coming weeks as well, you got to believe. But it was just epic. It was entertainment. And as one writer said, it might have been Justin Henry at Camel Clutch Blog. There you go. There's a shout out for you, Justin. It was reminiscent of years gone by. It was reminiscent, dare I say, maybe even of the Attitude Era a little bit in terms of the voltage level of the promos, the wrestlers, the performers in the ring, ratcheting everything up a notch because they knew this was going to be big. It's WrestleMania time. You bring out the best, and they brought out the best, all four of them, Punk, Jericho, Rock, Cena.
Mm-hmm.
What more can you say?
Well, I could have something said, but this is a long soundbite, so I don't know if I want to play it.
Nah, take your chances.
Okay. Just the one thing that Rock does tend to do, though, is he tends to go a little long, but that seems to be a common thing with him. Something like this.
The Rock says, what you gonna do when the 24... No, wait, that's not it. Hold on, that's not it. Oh, this is it. To be the man, woo, you gotta beat... No, wait, that's not it. Oh, this is it. Ooh, yeah, dick... Oh, damn it, that's not it either. Oh, wait, this is it. I am the best there is, the best of... No, wait, that's not it either. That damn sure ain't it. This is it. The most electrifying line in sports entertainment today. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Oh, yeah, back in the days when he sounded like he had hemorrhoids. Isn't that adorable?
There was the beauty of both the Rock-Cena promo. Cena wasn't doofy Cena. And that's when he is serious Cena, that's when he's the best.
Yes.
My favorite line of this is, I like Rocky, I hate Dwayne Johnson. That was so beautiful. Love that line.
And I just, you know, I was waiting for Punk to poke his head in and says, hey, that's gimmick infringement. But at least you changed it up a little bit, you know. At least you didn't say, I want the old you. The new you sucks.
Go ahead, Jim. No, I was also going to say, speaking of Punk Jericho, my favorite line in that promo was CM Punk saying, while you were dancing with stars, I was swimming with sharks. How great is that of a line?
Oh, God, yes. That just sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to creative and to the wrestlers themselves.
Well, yeah. But it's just, you know, you don't have to have a wrestling loaded show to have a good show, and this is a perfect example of that. The ratings don't reflect this, unfortunately. It walked out with a 3-1, but I've had the breakdown researched and everybody showed up for Roxana. So.
Yeah, the overrun was a 3-5, if my numbers were right, and it's great. It was so much fun. I mean, we had the whole, you know, the Teddy Laurinaitis feud,
mm-hmm.
you know, kept into effect. We had a nice, we had a great 6-man tag match too.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, tag team wrestling? Who knew?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there were more tag teams in that match than there have been on Raw in, what, 3 months? Seemingly.
Something like that.
The only downer of the whole night was, well, Eve had to act again. But you know what? There's always a fly in every ointment.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, she can never mind. I better not. No. No. Class this place up. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Eve Torres playing the well-drawn-out slut angle that's been done so many times. I mean, done by Sunny before her, then Sable after her, then Tori Wilson after her, and then Trish Stratus, and so on and so forth.
7-year rule, anybody? I'm just saying.
Just, you know, it's not compelling, I'm not interested, and On top of this, Eve wrestling Natalya on SmackDown, that's heel-heel. And while I say that there is a way to make that work, those two are not two heels that can.
Actually, I don't think Natalya is being considered a heel anymore. I mean, with this new fart angle she's got going on, I mean, I don't know what creative's thinking with this, but apparently it's to help get fans behind Natalya. It's like,
With a fart gimmick, that's the last place you want to be.
Well, exactly. Man. No.
Fans are supposed to be sympathetic with her and be like, oh, it's okay, Natalya, I fart as well constantly, it sucks. It's like, fucking serious, come on.
That's dumb.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And just, it just does not, it is not compelling.
You want to get Natalya over with the crowd? One word, gizmo. Just saying.
Eh?
Her kitten.
Her kitten, yeah.
That's true.
Big fat kitten.
She has a Siamese cat that she posts pictures of on Twitter.
Oh, God, Gizmo's adorable. Kidding me? Gizmo for GM.
Yes, it would be, but I agree, it would be. It'd sort of be like Tori Wilson coming out with that dog that she used to come out with.
Yes.
Or hers.
What was the name of her dog?
I don't remember. Chloe. Sadly, I remember the damn finisher.
Sad,
I remember
that.
Dog's name.
Chloe, oh my God, Carl. Chief High Muckety Muck does it again. It's Chloe the dog.
Yeah. I wasn't paying attention to the dog for obvious reasons, so thank you, Carl.
we're paying attention to puppies, but not that
Yoo-hoo!
Type of puppies.
And points to whoever did that Lawler, because that was quite good.
Quite welcome.
I actually remember that. Remember the name of the dog as well. I'm like, how fucking sad is that? I remember that.
That's when everybody would know they're going for the, ooh, look at me, I can be like Paris Hilton, I have a dog in my purse, yay.
Yes.
Wow.
Those
were the movies. Anywho, fast forwarding to the year now, once again.
So, we had mentioned Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis, and they've been at each other's throats, so there was supposedly this big announcement on WWE.com, and the fact that these guys are doing a show swap next week. Well, sorry, gentlemen, but this has to be said.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Yeah. Woo!
But wait a minute, does this mean you get Stephen Colbert's 1,000 skee-ball tickets?
That wouldn't be too bad, although, I'd rather just, hang out with him, split some sodas and some pony cartoons. He's a brony.
Jeez. Okay, moving on.
Oh, we'll move on in just a second. I just need to point at you, Jim.
Oh, thanks.
Why won't it play?
Because I said
play.
So. Maybe I shouldn't have made the move from BTR. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding.
Yes, we are.
We're just playing with you.
Yeah, the four-legged little turnover. Anyway.
Yeah. So John Laurinaitis is going to be the manager, the general manager of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And John and Teddy Long is going to be the general manager of Raw, and he actually booked a match, at least for one.
Yeah. He decided to pit Ace Attorney David Otunga against Kali.
And then we got a hint from SmackDown of what we're going to see from John Laurinaitis, in which he alluded after SmackDown that maybe he'll stick Kane in a match with Teddy Long's girlfriend, Oksana.
Yipe!
That's just not very nice.
Oh, he made the move. I mean, he or she or whoever it may be made the move too.
Huh.
Are you kidding me?
Oksana wants to entertainment you. Okay.
Wait, how did he get this spot?
Well, simple. I called him.
You called him?
I have connections. I mean,
I print out loud.
I'm what, a broadcast journalist, for goodness sakes.
Oh, God. All right.
Hearing the iTunes sound. Anyway.
Let's see.
Be honest, Jim. You got his secretary. You didn't get him directly or whoever it is.
We've already cursed on here, so I'll just say in the words of a great basketball announcer, yes!
Now, let's see. The GM says, hello and welcome to the podcast to everybody.
Hi, welcome yourself.
Nice to see you again.
To see you? Nice.
That's good. It's good that we've, you know, finally put BTR behind us and that we will be able to produce some quality wrestling discussion programming. But even though we have changed formats, some things never change. So, gentlemen, we're going to need a couple of minutes here to sell some soap. So why don't you sit back and relax, and we will be back with more North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net after these soothing commercials.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 network.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
What's actually going to be a very boring show this week? But wait!
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez! Mute homicidal men!
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap!
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
One more time.
Look,
the mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere, saluting us with her pickles and ice cream, going, "Yeah, baby."
Oh yeah.
I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The noodles. Chris Knight, you noodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes,
sound bite.
Good girl. Sound
bite. Sound bite.
Let's talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know.
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, Justin. Mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is gonna be like a good championship boxing match. You're not gonna see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are gonna be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
Williams Wear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, this is Robert Q. Seidelman, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in, the sexiest man alive.
No.
No.
And we're back with the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and tonight I have with me Jim Williams, Jason Block, and Shane Beeman. Shane, I wish you were here last week. We had an absolute blast telling BTR exactly where to go and what time the bus leaves.
Yes, well, like I said, I had work commitments. But apparently, I'm hearing all these things from people. Apparently, there was this huge thing that I missed, or this really funny thing that I missed. So, do you want to fill me in on this, Nikki? Like, what's everyone talking about? Because
let's just say we even made sure we had a commercial to show BTR how we really feel. So, listen up and listen well.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Fuck you, BTR! If you're dumb enough to spend thousands of dollars on piss-poor netcasting services, then you're a big enough schmuck to stay with Blog Talk Radio. Technical issues. Lack of promotion. Server overload. If you think hosting on BTR is a bargain, you can kiss my ass. It's our belief that long-term premium hosts are such stupid motherfuckers that they'll fall for BTR's BS promises. Guaranteed. If you find a less expensive alternative, they'll say, shove it up your ugly ass. You heard me, Prince. Shove it up your ugly ass. We tried to get a better deal from BTR, and they told us to fuck off. That's right, fuck off. Because with BTR, you're fucked 6 ways from Sunday. In church and out. Take a hike from Blog Talk Radio, the home of challenge shitting. That's right, challenge shitting. How does it work? If you can take a dump off the side of their building and have your feces land in a bucket 10 stories below, you'll get premium services for free. Don't wait, don't delay. Don't fuck with BTR. Fuck BTR, the home of the meanest, stingiest sons of bitches in all of internet radio. Guaranteed.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
All I've got to say to that is, one, I'm sad I fucking missed that on the friggin' show. But two, that was a bigger fucking owning of anyone than Chris Brown getting owned by CM Punk. So,
So Jim, congratulations.
I take my victory lap a la Shaquille O'Neal. Thank you.
The first time I heard that promo, I don't think I could compose myself for 15 minutes. It was that funny.
You'll be happy to know, ladies and gentlemen, after the promo, I am now back on the antidepressants. Okay. You were depressed when you made that, Jim? Yes. Anyway.
But, so, Shane, are you still with us, or have you fallen off your chair?
I tried so hard right now to compose myself with that, because I was pissing myself laughing. That was the funniest shit I've heard. Like I said, Jim, hats off to you, man. That was funnier than Chris Brown getting owned by CM Punk this past week. Hysterical.
Thank you, Shane. That's kind of you to say.
So, speaking of amusing incidents, well, actually, it's not all that... Some of it's not all that amusing, but... In the wake of Rock running around and making movies and celebrity appearances, John Cena was supposed to do his celebrity appearances down in Daytona, or Jim, was it you who said it? Raintona?
It was actually Cena himself who replied in a tweet Monday afternoon calling it hashtag Raintona because he couldn't afford to miss being in the same arena in the same ring as The Rock. Of course, the Daytona 500. Or as I prefer to call it this year, the Great American Marathon. Having to go into Tuesday morning before it's finished. So obviously, Cena had to weigh the commitments. Let's see. Dangle a little green flag at the start of the Daytona 500 or meet up with The Rock. Green flag, meet up with The Rock. No brainer. So...
And just the fact that it would have looked a little hypocritical if he was down still in Daytona while the show was underway in Portland.
Yeah, 2,500 miles away or however many miles away it is, cross country, yeah. Because then Cena could have brought it via satellite.
And actually, I think that I would have laughed. It would have been fun, ironic, and
him with like the NASCAR headphones on because it's so loud and everything. Can't hear you, Rock. Can't hear what you're saying. All that kind of stuff. Hanging with the people who haven't bathed in 3 or 4 days and all that. Hey, I can say that I've been to NASCAR events. Those people don't shower. I'm sorry. Some of them don't. Some of them don't.
So, unfortunately, since he, they cannot blame the track fire on John Cena.
That's gonna be Kane! That's gonna be Kane!
Great. It did look like all hellfire and brimstone when Juan Pablo Montoya crashed into a jet engine. That's...
Oh my goodness. I've seen the video that... You know, obviously, you know, there's no way it could have been staged because there is no good shot of this.
Well, exactly. It's like the Zapruder film. Pretty much. I mean, just insanity. But so we have Kane is the reason for that. And the 2 hour delay could, you know, keeping the wrestling theme, the 2+ hour delay with the red flag, I'm telling you, that would have been perfect timing for Santino to do his new internet show at Daytona. It would have been beautiful.
Yes, I would watch it.
Interviewing the fans at the Daytona 500 at the NASCAR. Yes.
And nothing going on.
Exactly. But
oh goodness.
So it goes.
Well, if Kane decided to blow up some of the Daytona International Speedway, he must have been pissed about the last pay-per-view. Well, I'd be pissed too if I got thrown off the top of an ambulance, even if there was a nice cushy crash pad waiting for me.
Yeah, it's not exactly on my list of things to do in life. Yeah.
But it's my understanding he might have done a dark at Raw, but his presence was better felt in SmackDown when he decided to sneak in and get a feud switched, taking Randy away from the World Heavyweight title picture, taking Randy Orton and beating the high holy hell, pun fully intended, out of him. And this, I believe, is already being set up as a match for WrestleMania.
Because we know Randy Orton cannot afford missing a payday.
Well, the good news is he's not in a title match.
Which is a positive.
Unfortunately... We also know that this will be one of the easiest predictions on the card.
Really?
Really? I mean, flat. It's a simple lather, if you will.
Lather isn't exactly what I was thinking.
Baby oil.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And you got to lather the oil on. I mean, come on.
Although, admittedly, you may have a point. Kane might have an advantage because baby oil is flammable.
Bazinga!
Yes.
But I guess it really all depends on which way they're going to go with this. Because, like, let's think about it. So far, WrestleMania is looking like it's going to be all singles matches, which it's not technically a bad thing, but people like variety. So, I don't know, maybe Orton and Kane could possibly be the two team captains of a possible Team Laurinaitis, Team Long thing. We don't know.
I hadn't thought of that. That I hadn't thought of. Mainly because I was still racking my brain over possibilities of who was going to be on Team Teddy, because I kept putting people aside for Money in the Bank. Then WWE fixed that for me and took it off the WrestleMania card.
Boo!
Boo is
it's
right.
A bad call.
I do agree with Jason, Boo, but I have to admit, most of you had to admit you saw it coming. I mean, let's think about what we've got so far for WrestleMania, okay? We've got Hell in a Cell between Taker and Triple H. That's going to be a huge match in of itself. Chris Jericho versus CM Punk for the WWE Championship. That, too, is going to be huge to see who is the true best in the world. No pun intended. Then we're going to have fucking Rock versus Cena for the first time ever. Then you're going to have Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. And then, of course, So, of course, they're not going to put Money in the Bank when you've got most of those huge matches there.
Well, the running joke had been that the reason they weren't going to do Money in the Bank again is because there was no way they were going to top Chicago last summer.
Are you kidding? There was no way they could top Jack Swagger. Oh, wait a minute. No.
Nice try.
How'd that work out for you, Jack, huh?
But, so that's back on the pay-per-view calendar. Mm-hmm. But, if they're going to do a multi-man match, it's definitely going to be, you know, a Team Laurinaitis versus Team Long. If Christian's healthy enough to participate, it looks like he was interested. If Del Rio's healthy enough, he might participate. If Mark Henry's contract doesn't expire, I'm sure he'll be participating, even if it's in a limited thing.
Speaking of Del Rio, quick question. Is it all but definitive that Ricardo is no longer going to be his personal ring announcer?
I hadn't heard that, and your microphone's gone to crap.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
I was a little further away. Sorry about that. There's the belief among some that Ricardo's no longer part of the package deal with Del Rio, so... After his epic La Cucaracha and how he got over with the fans at Rumble. So.
That's true.
In his 1985 300ZX beater.
That was gorgeous.
That was vintage right there.
With the taped windows, yeah.
Yes.
We've all been there, folks. We've all been there. Sort of.
No, we have. I hadn't seen anything with Ricardo pretty much since that, so... Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, yes, the other match that's been added to an already crazy stacked card... has been the Intercontinental title will actually be defended. Cody Rhodes and The Big Show are now signed for this match at WrestleMania.
So now The Big Show can finally win a title at Mania.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
True.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, with the way it looks, like Big Show can easily win the title at Mania. But I guess the bigger picture now is is that Shaq, we know what you're doing, buddy. You're not wrestling at WrestleMania, so shut the fuck up.
Shazam!
Or
How dare you say that about the big Aristotle? Startle?
Well, I think at that point it was a money issue, and the fact that Shaq was probably asking more than Hogan would have asked if Hogan was ever asked to do another Mania.
I cleared off my time March and April. I was going to do the March Madness so I could be WrestleMania so I could punch his lights out.
Sorry, man.
Shaq Fu!
Worst impression ever. Thank you.
Yes.
But actually, with the way it's being built, I think they are trying. They're going to go ahead and they could very well put the belt on Show because he is losing momentum very, very quickly.
Well, they have to make up for his shortest world heavyweight title reign ever. So maybe a long intercontinental title run could do it.
Hey. And big white looks good on big people. White on white. There you go.
Insert Sheamus joke here. Sorry.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I had that coming. Bella.
But I think they might put it on Show. It might just be a short thank you reign for, you know, just sticking around as long as he has.
I mean he's been with the E now for 12 years. 12 years going back to February. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and the fact that it still kind of irks me when they say that he hasn't held a major title since his was it an undisputed title still? 2002 when he took it off of Lesnar?
No, that was the WWE title back then.
Okay. And that was a poorly booked title switch, as I recall it, even though my dear Uncle Paul was involved. They never talk about his ECW title reign. Probably for the best, but it was at least an A-minus title. Come on. Crickets. Damn it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I want to recognize it, but I don't want to, if you know what I mean.
No. I know what you mean.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, put it this way, that gives them, what now, 5 confirmed matches? For WrestleMania?
5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, we're shaping up nicely, and we still have a full month to go, so...
And keep in mind, of course, this is a 4-hour card, so you gotta fill it up with matches somehow, so...
Well, Hell in a Cell and Punk Jericho are both gonna be in the 30-plus minute range. So there's 1 hour. Sheamus Bryan, 15 to 20... Kane Orton, I think there's going to be a stip on that one if it's just them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they end up doing Team Laurinaitis, Team Long with those two, that's going to need about 20 to 25 minutes.
Mm.
Roxina does not have to be long at all.
But it probably will be 20 to 30, 25 minutes at least.
Yeah.
And that goes on last, right?
Since they've been hyping it since the day after WrestleMania 27.
They have no choice.
They're almost committed. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you should close with Hell in a Cell, in my opinion, or I mean, you can make a case you can close with Punk as well, but you know, the streak knows not in this case.
Yeah. So, let's see. I think we've covered just about everything I had for the E.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you insinuating we're going to talk about... Oh, yes. I remember now. Okay.
Well, I am going to touch on one thing, cuz yes, I know I'm horrible about talking TNA.
Oh, that too. Okay, yes.
But yeah, there's another thing I will be talking about in a moment. But despite the change in regime, TNA's ratings are slipping, and this was the first week in probably several years that they have been under 1. Granted, it was 0.99, But this is kind of a head scratcher because I was thinking that once Russo was shown the door, that people would be coming back in droves going, oh, cool. Now they might, some of this stuff might actually make some sense.
I have a stupid question.
I might have a stupid answer.
That would be very fitting. Knowing that TNA records a bulk load of shows in advance still, sometimes mm-hmm. they do like 3 tapings within a weekend or something like that. Are the episodes that are airing currently, the storylines in place now, are these after Russo was let go or before?
Probably. These, sorry, Jason.
I think there was a. I apologize. I think it was a combination of both. Like, okay. In other words, it probably had some storylines in the pipeline.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Well,
I don't
that's
know.
What I'm getting at. I'm just how much of it, how much of these shows, obviously less than say 3 or 4 months ago, have the Vince Russo seal of approval on them in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, what fun is there in making sense?
Discord, very cool.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
So, but. But yeah. it's a little troubling. I just, you know, but maybe after we get through their next pay-per-view, we'll be starting on a, you know, they'll be starting on a clean slate. I don't know. Because, yes, they do record 2 or 3 weeks at a time. So we'll just have to see where that goes. And I might actually have to... I got to actually take a look at this stuff and see what's doing.
I've been watching. It hasn't been that half bad.
Well, here's the thing. We already know 2 of the matches for Victory Road. We already know 1 of the matches for Lockdown. So it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you got for Victory Road, you have Jeff Hardy versus Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Sting versus Bobby Roode. And of course, for Lockdown, you have James Storm versus Bobby Roode for the title. So, I don't know, but it's been... But I have to admit, TNA hasn't been bad. In fact, TNA has been very kind as to keep giving us continual updates on Jesse Sorensen.
That, and I will sing some praises for that, too, because I didn't watch this week, but I did watch the last 2 weeks, and they've played these video packages. Something that, this is one thing that WWE doesn't do, but they also take a lot better care of their guys, even if it's not on camera, and they don't talk a lot about it, because you'll notice that nobody's running video packages about Wade Barrett and his dislocated elbow.
No, they do put that up on the WWE website about injury updates and stuff like that. So.
Right, but they don't broadcast it. Now, granted, you know, at least on the website, and since they've been making all this effort to get people to go to the website, you know, it's something. But if they had done, you know, video packages this elaborate for when Edge was out with either his neck injury or his Achilles tendon injury, but it's just the differences in the two machines, I guess, because WWE's machine is, if you're hurt, you know, we need to keep moving. Unless we're going to tie it into a major storyline, we're not going to talk about you. You just get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's also a factor that really hasn't happened very often, which is an actual accident or injury on live TV. And when you have that, you can't, quote-unquote, hide it, unquote. And that's why I think they're being very proactive with the Sorensen thing.
Actually, I just thought of something else. This is probably a big PR thing. Remember, a lot of people still dog on TNA about their medical coverage of their people.
Ooh, you mean like the lawsuit with what's her face?
Yeah, like Daphne's lawsuit. Daphne's lawsuit. The the one that's already been settled with Conan regarding his medical stuff, and any other ones that might be creeping, you know, because I don't think Daphne's alone on her lawsuit. I forget, though. I haven't read anything on it lately. But
does anyone else find it a bit strange that TNA's been to court more times than WWE? I mean, seriously, if you think about it, TNA's been to court probably, or TNA stars, nonetheless, have been to court more times than anyone in WWE history. I mean, the two major things that come along with WWE for courts with me is the lawsuit way back in the day with Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after that, there was the whole thing with World Wildlife Federation and the changing of WWF to WWE.
Actually, there was actually a very big lawsuit that was settled a couple of years ago with the E, which was the independent contractors suit, if you remember correctly, where a bunch of wrestlers tried to sue the WWE to get them labeled as something else, if I remember correctly, so that they can get benefits and such. I'm not 100% on the details, but I think you remember what I'm talking about, Nikki.
I do, and it was Raven and several other former WWE employees who attempted to sue WWE because while they were labeled as independent contractors, that's not how the job works. Because there is so much more demand on that individual, despite not being a full-blown employee. So they were contesting that they were being used as full-blown employees but being labeled as independent contractors. The court settled it in favor of the WWE, saying you idiots signed the contract and you know what you were getting into, which is pretty much what it is when it comes to the wrestling business or any job for that matter. You know what you're getting into. And you know, like you guys mentioned, you talked about the steroid trials. We also had the Owen Hart wrongful death claim. And I'm missing one. The independent contractors one. This new thing with with somebody protesting the fact that WWE was actually backing SOPA is whatever.
There was also a court case a few years ago with Brock Lesnar, with the whole contract thing, if I remember correctly.
Oh, the fact that he was bailing on his contract for football, is that particular part of it? Or
I think so. Yeah, that one, something like that.
Okay. I could also actually there was Sable's lawsuit too, but I just don't feel like going there.
Right, I think also, but yeah, TNA may need the services more of David Otunga than the WWE, right, with all the bad employment problems there.
You had something else on that, Shane?
No, not me. Like I said, I was just bringing up an interesting point, just the fact that TNA is screwing up more than WWE, and WWE's got a bigger egotist than freaking TNA does.
Well, WWE also has deeper pockets, so they probably would have a lot more, but I'm sure somebody wrote somebody a check to shut them up.
Oh, dear.
So, I think
what was the rating for TNA this week? I think it was
0.99.
Ooh.
That's kind of why I'm bringing it up, because this is the first time in years that they have dropped below 1.0 for their regular Thursday time slot. I'm not going to count their attempt at the Monday Night War, because that was
now,
just... Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember who it was on that, whether it was Jim or Jason, but can we possibly blame that fact for the reason that they're getting such a low rating on the fact that they're doing their tapings like at least 2 weeks in advance, or do we blame it on creative?
I think it's more an issue of creative. I mean, Raw used to always tape one show, do one live back in its heyday, And granted, the internet and the advent of it, that factors in. People can figure out what happens the 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, no matter how much the powers that be at the Universal Lottery are saying, no, 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 don't leak this information, yada, yada, yada. I think it's more a creative thing. I think that's what it comes down to, more than the pre-recorded shows.
And if you remember back in the heyday of the internets or the interwebs, Eric Bischoff had to leak the information because spoilers really didn't get out. That's why ratings were fours and fives, even for taped shows.
Oh, yes, of course. How could we forget that one Nitro? That was the most controversial thing back in the day. Eric Bischoff rating off. It's like, what you're going to be watching later on tonight, people, is Mankind winning the WWF title.
Oh, gotta put some butts in the seat.
Thank you, Shivani.
Click. But, I think it's really a little bit of both, because the fact that SmackDown is also a taped show, and its ratings are still fairly low. That the fact that TNA tapes them, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time, they hit the internet pretty much within minutes of the match finishing, no matter how hard they scan the crowd. And people will read that and make their judgment.
Well, and you say the ratings are low still for SmackDown, but they're they're usually within the 2.0 range, so they're a full point roughly higher than TNA. So, like you say, you can't completely say it's taping.
No, it's not completely that. And unfortunately, creative has been so bad for so long that they've really, really got to really turn it up to get people to come back.
They've got to do something shocking. And dare I say the word revolutionary to put eyeballs to the seats. None of this, oh boy, we crossed the line again crap.
See, that's the thing, though. If they try to, they say they're going to do something revolutionary, people are going to roll their eyes and say, again?
Well, yeah. We brought back Hulk Hogan, yeah, and?
See, they've got to come up with, they've got to, I hate to say it, but they're probably going to have to build. They're just going to have to use this year to build or rebuild at this point.
I tell you, this is what TNA has to do. And I've said this so many times with TNA that it's not funny. They need to stop making out that the guys who were in TNA before Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and all them stepped through the doors are crap. The guys like AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels and that. Because when Hulk Hogan and that came in, they made them seem like nothing, that the work that they had done for all those years meant shit. I mean, Hulk Hogan's like, who are you? What have you done? My name's AJ Styles, and I built this fucking company, dickhead.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
That's why you're here.
And you know what? To segue a little bit, talk about companies that are doing things and talking about how they've been built up, there's one company that this very weekend is not really worrying about its future so much as it's celebrating its past.
As indeed it is, Ring of Honor is celebrating its 10th anniversary this weekend, and Mr. Block, you will be in attendance.
I will. Yeah, and you can actually watch it for, believe it or not, $9.99 on the internet. If you go to ROHWrestling.com and look for the 10th anniversary Young Worlds Rising link, there is a way you can order the internet pay-per-view. And if I were you and you have the extra 10 bucks to spare, I would do it, because it has 7 matches on the card, believe it or not. And let's start off. We're going to have an appearance by Steve Corino, always fun. An attraction match between the notorious 187 Homicide and the prodigy Mike Bennett, with Brutal Bob and Maria Kanellis. a Glory by Honor 10 tag team rematch between the world's greatest tag team, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, versus the All Night Express, Rhett Titus and Kenny King. By the way, Kenny King, the most successful member of the Tough Enough classes. You could say there's a name for that, you know. Mm-hmm. John Morrison not outstanding. Tag team match. The Amazing Red and Technical Lightning TJ Perkins versus the House of Truth. Unbreakable Michael Elgin and Roderick Strong versus Truth Martini. A no DQ grudge match with Jimmy Jacobs taking on wrestling's worst nightmare, Kevin Steen. The World Television Championship is going to be defended as the Black Machismo, Mr. Jay Lethal, is defending against the dominant male Tommaso Ciampa with the Embassy Limited with Prince Nana and their gang. And the two, in my opinion, the co-main event for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships, the Briscoe Brothers, Jay and Mark, are defending against the Young Bucks, Generation Me. And then the main event is a tag team affair with the world champion Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly teaming up with Eddie Edwards and Adam Cole. So $9.99 is a pretty good buy for that sort of thing.
And I'm going to touch on one thing that goes with that, because some of those names that you mentioned are some people that WWE were really, really interested in.
Oh?
Well, they've been taking a peek at the Briscoes, and they've been taking a peek at Adam Cole. Now, word on the street is the fact that Ring of Honor is saying, oh, we've got them completely locked down. They're signed to, you know, they're signed to exclusive contracts. You know, you can't have them. And WWE, I would think, would say, well, you know, we've got money. We've got lots and lots and lots of money. Well, the whole deal that's been bouncing around, and Jay Briscoe posted via Twitter and on his Facebook that this whole thing is just a crock of crap. But I caution you, because this is indeed the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on which way you want to see it, although I think it's just another product brought to you by
KFBE Kayfabe Radio.
I just don't think that the Briscoes are going anywhere, and if they're, you know, if they're signed, they're signed. And WWE does not like wrestlers who break contracts just to jump ship.
And I don't know if the Briscoes would be a good fit in WWE, to be honest.
It'd be interesting. I'd be curious to see how they were repackaged and if they would be subjected to the FCW name generator.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't know.
Hey,
go ahead,
Jason. I was about to say, Jason, you have to admit, WWE needs some good tag teams right now. So, Briscoes could do it for them.
True.
And since WWE is more interested in seeing Hiro and Claudio go at it solo at first, which actually I would prefer, just because sometimes coming up as a tag team is not going to help you. I think they need to establish themselves, and then we can talk about putting them together as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. But I think we have covered everything that I plan to cover. Jason, do you have anything to show besides the fact that you are going to be sitting at this Ring of Honor event?
I'm going to shill, of course, the fact that I want to shill some other things on the CLW 83 network, which is, of course, Red State Blue State, which I record with Mr. Jim Williams and Mr. Ethan Muslin on this coming, usually on Thursday nights, usually up on Fridays. And I think that's a pretty, you know, that's pretty much it. And, of course, I will be going to a couple of WWE events on the 18th and 20th of this month.
Lucky stuff.
A Raw house show, which I did. Oh, by the way, if you don't mind, I believe I have a preliminary card for that, if you have a quick second.
I think we can squeeze it in.
If I can just pull this up, I'm sorry. It is the unofficial card for the March 18th show before SmackDown. That is a 5 p.m. house show. So why don't you just get the other people in while I just...
Okay, while you're digging for that, Jim, do you have anything to plug?
Nothing really in particular. Just follow me on Twitter. Like Zack Ryder. No, Jay Williams on there. Follow me on Twitter for various random tweets and stuff.
Shane, do you have anything to plug?
No, not really. Just like to wish Drew McIntyre good luck on his future endeavors.
Wait a minute.
Congratulations to SmackDown commentary team for once again not noticing a Celtic cross when you fucking see it. You idiots.
First of all, I as the interim general manager next week of Friday Night SmackDown, you can't be the one who wishes people the best of their future endeavors. That's my job. Johnny Laurinaitis, Mr. Excitement.
I put money on it. Johnny Ace rehires Drew.
Yeah, supposedly in a new gimmick from what I'm hearing.
I hope it's not the gimmick that I've been hearing about.
Yeah, can we say Orlando Jordan gimmick anybody from TNA?
No, not that.
What are you hearing?
That's what I'm... No, what Shane said, that they're doing an Orlando Jordan style, a TNA Orlando Jordan style gimmick with him, and I'm praying that that's not the case.
Really?
Sort of like a gay version of Val Venus instead of saying, hello, ladies, he's going to be saying, hello, fellas.
Drew McIntyre as gay?
He's not gay, obviously. I mean, he was sleeping with Tiffany for God knows
how long. No, but I'm just saying, Drew McIntyre as a gay character?
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll do wonders for the Be a Star program. Oh man, that's just those kind of storylines. While you can cut in one respect, you can understand why they would try to put them forth. Don't they cause more harm than good in the end? And
Drew
too
McIntyre,
much effort to
Drew McIntyre.
You know placate, you know, and what have you. There are much better routes to go.
Yeah, Drew
like,
McIntyre.
Hey, the guy can wrestle here.
Drew McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be returning with a new theme song. Instead of Broken Dreams, it's going to be called Brokeback Dreams.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So, according to what I have here from thegarden.com, pardon me, Chris Jericho is making an appearance. Jack Swagger is fighting Zack Ryder for the U.S. title.
Okay.
Miz versus R-Truth. Daniel Bryan versus The Big Show and Mark Henry. Punk Ziggler, Cena Kane in a last man standing match, and Triple H will be in action. Actually, Triple H is going to wrestle.
Ooh.
They just announced this. So, awesome. That's probably a warm up match. I don't know who he would fight.
You got me. All I know is that he will not be in the ring alone. He will probably bring his sweet lady Sledge along.
Yes. Sister Sledge, yes.
You just, you know. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, they get along quite well.
So, let's see. I have nothing to plug, unfortunately. Because there's not much wrestling in Minnesota. But for those who have enjoyed the North American Wrestling Connection before we left BTR, I hope you will be able to find us again through CLW83. And please keep listening, because we want to keep talking about wrestling. Although we're done talking about it tonight. So, gentlemen, I think we are gonna call it an evening. So, for Jason Block, Jim Williams, Shane Beeman, and Chief High Muckamuck Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and until next week, gentlemen.
This program was pre-recorded, so the cast would have time to make a getaway.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.